لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان العين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله آل الله العظيم بقية الله ولعنة الله على آله وعاد الله من يومنا هذا لقاء الله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله في كتابه الحكيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: طاسين تلك آيات القرآن وكتاب مبين. مؤمنين، we are starting سورة النمل. We prayed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the wasila of Muhammad Ali Muhammad. We finished this surah inshallah and Allah accepted. Naml means ends. And the translation goes like this: Taasim, these are the signs of the Quran and manifest book. So the word came, tilka means these are like somebody, when you say tilka means from the distance you are addressing somebody. So why from distance Quran? Because Quran's status, the verses is so lofty, it's like it's beyond our reach, it's so high that Allah says that tilka, these are the verses. These are the signs of Quran and manifest book. Two things are used. What is Quran? Quran means what is recited. And book means what is written. So it is Quran, which is book form. So it is being recited and it is being read. Okay? So Allah wants to communicate through two ways. One is by writing Quran and reading Quran. And it is called Kitabun. Mubin means it's a manifest book. Manifest means it's so clear because it's coming from the Lord, you know. So it's very manifest. Hudan wa bushra lil mu'minin, a guidance and good news for the faithful. It is the guidance and the good news for the faithful. Guidance for this world, for everything we are going to do. And the good news for this world and next world. That if we are guided, there's good news for us in this world. Allah will give us victory in this world and victory and hereafter. See, you know, the life of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how much victory he got in this world. Huh? And the good news for the akhirah, for the afterlife. And who are these believers? Allah is explaining. Alladheena yuqeemuna salata wa yutuna zakata wa hum bil akhirati hum yuqinoon. Those who maintain the prayer and pay the zakah, and those are certain of hereafter. Who are these believers? These believers are the one who do salat, means pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then do zakah, means they do charity, and who are certain of hereafter. See, their good deeds are not just good deeds of salat and zakah, but the most important part is that they are certain of hereafter. They are certain that this hereafter is coming, you know. Their certainty is very important, that there should be certainty about akhirah, that is coming. Because there are two groups of people in this world, they do good deeds, but one is believer, believe in the day of judgment, and one are non-believers. They still do good deeds. Now Allah is talking about them too, about the non-believers who do good deeds. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُوا بِالْآخِرَةِ زَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ فَهُمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. Is those who do not believe in hereafter. We have made their deeds seem decorous to them and they are bewildered. Who are these people? You know all these great charity people in the world. They give billions of dollars of charity, right? It comes in news, right? Billions of dollars. And people say, wow, what a good guy he is, right? Allah is talking about them. And those who do not believe in hereafter, we have made their deeds decorous to them. They do good deeds, they are so happy about it. Oh, I did this and that. Huh? And so they are bewildered. They are not sure what is happening because they are not about any thing about hereafter. You know, they don't expect anything hereafter. They don't think even hereafter is coming. Right? But they are doing good deeds. So Allah says they are useless. What Allah talks about them? أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَهُمْ سُوءُ الْعَذَابِ وَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ هُمُ الْأَخْسَرُونَ. They are the ones for whom there is a terrible punishment. And they are the ones will be the biggest loser in hereafter. They will have a terrible punishment and the biggest loser in hereafter. Why? Because there are two groups of people. One is believer, non-believer, right? If I am a believer and I believe hereafter, I know I have done some good deeds and some sins, I will be responded that way from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I hope that my sins are forgiven, but you know, like, believers would also be punished and rewarded and hereafter because they did their deeds that way. But the one who did not believe hereafter, their good deeds will not be accepted at all because they didn't believe in hereafter, and then they will be punished for the evil deeds. So they are the biggest losers. They are the biggest losers in this way. إِنَّكَ لَتُلَقَّى الْقُرْآنَ مِنْ لَدُنَّ حَكِيمٌ عَلِيمٌ. Indeed, you receive the Quran from the one who is all wise, all knowing. Prophet receives this Quran from who? From Hakim and Alim, who is all wise and all knowing. Okay, he has the perfect wisdom and all knowledge. You know, like we get some read science magazine, right? Now the science research today which came, tomorrow it will be proved wrong, right? Because knowledge was not perfect, right? Quran is not like that. It is from the perfect wisdom and perfect knowledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is no thing to be changed or wrong forever because it's from the perfect knowledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says that you have received the Quran from the one who is all wise, wisdom and all knowing. There is no doubt about it, nothing will change. That's about it, it's done. But with our new theory science, every day what you did say today will be wrong tomorrow. Now Allah is telling about the story of Musa alayhi salam. You know, this situation is when Musa was with Shoaib alayhi salam, who was his father-in-law, and he got married to his daughter. And then after spending 10 years in Madain, he was returning back to Egypt with his family because he left Egypt and he accidentally killed somebody, right? He ran away, right? Then he stayed in Madain for 10 years. Then he got married to his wife and they were coming back towards Egypt, and in night, they got lost. And when in the night, and his wife was pregnant and they got lost, it was a cold night, and suddenly he saw a light from the distance, you know. Allah was guiding him towards that. Now the story starts on that. Subhanallah. إِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِأَهْلِهِ إِنِّي آنَسْتُ نَارًا سَآتِيكُم مِنْهَا بِخَبْرٍ أَوْ آتِيكُم بِشِهَابٍ قَبَسٍ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَفْتُرُونَ. Allah tell the story. Allah is says the best story, you know, the way he says, you know. Now start right there, right? Then Moses said to his family, now who was the family? There's a discussion who was the family when he was going with. Some say that it was just his wife, because that's a family, pregnant wife. Some say that maybe some children too, we don't know. To his family, indeed I descry a fire, I see a fire. Anastu means I see a fire. I will bring you some news from it. I'll bring you a firebrand so that you may warm yourself. Some news means what? Because they got lost in the jungle. So he thought maybe there's a person there who can tell him how to go back in a proper path, you know. Or I bring some firebrand so you can warm yourself, you know. You know, there are a couple of words came like Shihabin Qabasin. Shihabin Qabasin. Shihab is like fire coming out. In Qabasin, to make fire out of the fire, you know, like you kindle from fire to fire. So the catching a fire from another fire is called Qabasin. So Shihabin Qabasin. So I get fire, so I bring the firebrand and bring to you so you can warm yourself. So that was his desire to do that, but Allah had bigger plans for him. He went just for kindness and get there some warmth, but Allah had bigger plans for him, you know. He was one of the luckiest men in this planet, you know. That now what is happening, you know, everybody's dream is coming here now. Falamma jau, falamma jau ha nudiya amburika man fil nari man hawlaha wa subhanallah rabbil alameen. So when he came to it, he was called. Blessed is he who is in the fire and who is around it, and immaculate is Allah, the Lord of the worlds. So when he goes to see the thing, there was a green tree, and from the green tree flames were coming. And the green tree was still green, you know. It was sharp. So then a voice came. He said, what's going on, you know? So voice came, you know. The best voice in the world. He was called. Blessed is he who is in the fire and who is around it. And iniquity is Allah, the Lord of the worlds. So now discussion is, blessed is he who is in the fire. Who was in the fire? Moses was there in the fire, right? So he is blessed, Allah is saying. And the spot where the tree was, that spot was the blessed. And the lane on that which was like a lament, was the lane where all the prophets were there in that lane, right? Ibrahim alayhi salam was there, Lut alayhi salam was there. That land is blessed. So Allah says, this is our blessed because it brings goodness to the mankind, right? And Allah says, Subhanallah Rabbil Alameen, that Allah is the immaculate, you know, because it's our goodness coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Huh? Who is the Lord of the whole worlds? All the worlds, you know. What a beautiful time, you know. Then the best word comes, you know. Now, like it's a dream comes true, you know. And this verse is one of the touchiest words in the Quran. Touchiest words in the Quran for me. Ya Musa, innahu anallahu azim, zur hakeem. The voice comes from the dream. What it comes? Everybody's dream. Oh Moses, indeed I am Allah, the Almighty, the All-Wise. Voice comes. Ya Allah. Salama, Salama Musa alayhi salam. You know that Allah said, what he said? I am Allah, the Almighty, All-Wise. How happy Musa must be having believing. He is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who, with whom? Who is Almighty, All-Wise. He used two names for himself. Ya Allah. You know, two people got this kind of, you know, this kind of darja, you know, position. One is Musa alayhi salam, who got this kind of position, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are near blessed tree. But our prophet, Allah called him to Miraj there, and then Allah talked this way, you know. Right there. This is difference between Prophet of Bani Israel and our Prophet. Because he is the chief of all the prophets. Allah talked to him, calling him up there, you know. This is different. But salam on Musa and salam on Prophet. Then these kind of great positions, you know, meeting Allah. When we do salah, it's meeting Allah ourselves, you know. You know, Prophet said the Salat is a miraj for a moment, you know. It's like going in a high position. So when you do Salat, you should meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like what Moses met on the green blessed tree, our Prophet met Allah in miraj. It's up to you where you want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Salat. Ya Kareem. But you know, Quran is these verses, if you go to these verses, it enlightens your heart so much that Allah in your heart, you know, you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the true believers, they wait for Salah to come and they meet Allah from all the hassle of this world and go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know. Just think that how Moses was feeling there on the tree, or how Prophet was feeling when he was in miraj Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a peaceful, happy thing, you know. That's how our Salah should be like this, you know. From all of hand, you know. That's why, you know, on the Zuhr prayer, in the Karbala, Zuhr time, Kapina Mahasan said, Mola is Salat time. Because they had the miraj, they knew the meaning of Salat, meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa alqi asa falamma raha tahtazzu ka annaha janu. وَاللَّا عُمْدِرُ وَلَا يُعَقِبْ يَا مُوسَى لَا تَخَفْ إِنِّي لَا يَخَافُ لَدَيَّ الْمُرْسَلُونَ. Throw down your staff, and when he saw it wrinkling as it were a snake, he turned his back without looking at it. O Moses, do not be afraid. Indeed, the apostles are not afraid before me. So this is a beautiful verse. So when Allah asked him through his staff, so it became a snake, fastly moving snake. Okay? So snake has been came twice in Quran about this stick. One time it came here like John, means a small snake which goes fast. It's called John. And one time it came, Thoban. What is Thoban? Thoban is like a big python. So this snake had two names, like a big python and a small fast moving snake. So this was like an amazing python which used to move so fast. It's scariness, really scary, you know. It has two scary qualities, you know. So when he saw it, he rain and didn't even look back. So Allah said, don't be afraid of. Don't be afraid. Apostles are not scared in front of me. Right? They are not afraid in front of me. So Mizan did discussion about that when he ran from the snake was something, some negative points on Moses, that why did he do that? So Mizan explained very beautifully about this. That his only weapon was that stick, right? And that stick itself became a snake. So how he would protect himself? And he did not expect his stick to become a snake in his wildest dream, right? So when he saw that, it's a natural thing to run away, right? So he ran away because he had to protect himself, right? So now, did he sin, Moses? No, he did not sin because Allah did not tell him that he's going to become a snake. He just said, throw the snake, the stick in. And neither Allah said not to run away, and neither Allah said stay there, right? Only he said throw the stick. So he didn't disobey Allah, right? Because Allah didn't say stay here. I don't run away, right? So Allah said, there in front of me, apostles are not afraid. See what a great position the apostles have in front of Allah. And Allah said, they're not afraid in front of me. Why? Because they are in the closest proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is Allah is with them, so why they have to be afraid of anything? Because Allah gave them this high position to be so close to Allah. So if you are close to Allah, what is the fear about? You know, sinners like us are afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God says. But they are not, because they are infallibles, you know. So there is no fear for them. Now this position that they achieve, how they achieve this position by themselves? Or by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mizan says this great position they achieve is by Allah's trainings. Allah educated them, Allah trained them. Like Yunus alayhi salam, right, who just ran away from his nation, so Allah put him in the belly of the fish. He trained him, right, keeping the belly. Afterward, he was sent to a big community of more than 100,000, because Allah trained him on a higher level. So this is Allah's training, you know, like Moses was trained for 10 years after he left Egypt and was in Madian, right. So Allah trained these prophets, you know. Allah trained us too, you know, like when Allah started training us, we start complaining to Allah. That Allah, why am I getting all the hardship in Allah life? But we don't know, it's all training for us, you know. So we got to understand that, because Allah asked us to follow the Prophet's path, right? When you try to follow Prophet's path, Allah trained you. Look at Imam Khomeini. He had to leave his country and be out of this country for 20 years. And in what position Allah gave him? He was in Najaf for 20 years. And Allah trained him higher and higher, you know. So our training comes, you know, and we should not see everything which comes to Allah as a punishment. You know, we should take it positively. Allah is training us, you know. Now, first goes further. Illa man zalama thumma badala husnan bi ba'da su'i fa inni ghafurur rahim. Now, Allah says about other people like us. Bearing someone who does wrong and then makes up with the goodness for his fall. For indeed, I am all forgiving, all merciful. He said, prophets are not afraid of me, but the sinners are afraid of me. Who does wrong? Except, and they again put exception, except the one who makes up with the goodness for him. Then I'll forgive him, right? But then what he said, indeed, I am all forgiving, all merciful. He prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that before our death, Allah forgive all the sins. And when we meet, inshallah, Allah, you are listening. All who are listening to this lecture and all the believers before death, forgive all of them. With your grace and with the wasila, Muhammad Ali Muhammad, so that when we meet you in the grave, we are sinless. And you just, so that we are not afraid to be in the grave. Keep us fear-free. Because in the Quran, there are a lot of verses says that in Jannah, when believers go, there is no fear for them. No pain, no fear, you know. And when this will come, when we are totally forgiven from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being closest proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَدْخِلْ يَدَكَ فِي جَيْبِكَ تَخْرُجُ بَعْدَاءَ مِنْ غَيْرِ سُوِي فِي تِسْعِي آيَاتٍ إِلَّا فرعون وقومه إنهم كانوا قوما فاسقين. Now Allah showed one miracle of changing a stick to the snake. Now Allah is showing the second miracle. The translation goes like that. Insert your hand into your bosom. It will emerge white without any fault. Among nine signs for Pharaoh and his people, indeed they are transgressing the Lord. Now another sign was saying that put your hand into your bosom, it will come out shining. This is another sign. The snake sign was a sign of fear. This shining white hand sign was a sign of mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And said that among these nine signs, these two signs you take right now and take it to Pharaoh and his people, they are transgressing people. فَلَمَّا جَاءَتْهُمُ الْآيَاتُنَا مُبْصِرَةً قَالُوا هَذَا سِحْرٌ مُبِينٌ. But when our signs came to them as eye-openers, they said this is plain magic. That's what they do. See, all these signs were there and they said it's just magic. How deviant they were there. وَجَعَلُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ ظُلْمًا وَعُلُوًا فَانْظُرْ كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. They impugned them though they were convinced in their hearts wrongfully and defiantly. So observe how was the fate of the agents of corruption, right? They accepted the heart with these signs that it's true, but still they were defiant wrongfully and defiantly. So observe how the fate of agents of corruption. So Allah, what did to the agents of corruption? They were all destroyed. So, but the point here is that they saw the sign, their heart knew that these are right signs, but they were still defiant. Why people do that? Don't you know this whole world knows that Islam is a true religion? They know that, right? Their heart knows that, right? But they still fight against Islam. Why? Because they love this world. They don't want to change the lifestyle. They are slave of their desires, you know. Slave of desire destroys you, you know. I met many people in the US and they say, we know Quran, Islam is a right religion, but I cannot change my lifestyle. That's how it is, you know. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا دَاوُدَ سُلَيْمَانَ عِلْمًا وَقَالَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي فَضَّلَنَا عَلَى كَثِيرٍ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Certainly we gave David and Solomon knowledge, and they said, all praise belongs to Allah who granted us an advantage over many of his faithful servants. See, those were the two great prophets and both were kings, right? And because of Allah gave them so many blessings, so they praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they said, all praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who granted us an advantage over many of his faithful servants. Many of faithful servants. Because they had many kingdoms still in his favor. David's kingdom and Solomon's kingdom, right? Everybody knows that. Right? And Allah gave them superiority compared to other lot of believers, you know, faithful servants. So how they got this kind of superiority? By giving the knowledge. Knowledge is a superiority, you know. They had knowledge, you know. Knowledge, because the knowledge is gave them superiority over other many of Allah's servants. وَوَرِسَ سُلَيْمَانَ دَاوُدُ وَقَالَ يَا أَيُّهُ النَّاسُ قُلِّمْنَا مَنْ تَقَتَّلْ تَيْرِي وَأُوْتِينَا مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُوَ الْفَضْلُ الْمُبِينَ. Solomon inherited from David. And he said, oh people, we have been taught the speech of the birds and we have been given out of everything. Indeed, this is a manifest advantage. So Solomon inherited from David, who was his father. And he said that, oh people, we have been taught the speech of the birds. You know, like the story of Hoopi. You know, Hoopi comes and talks to him in detail about the story of Queen of Sheba, right? So it was a detailed story, you know. You know, some people claim that they can understand what birds are doing, you know. Like the way they shout or the way they sing, you know, in what mood they are in, right? You can figure it out. But the story of Suleiman was different in the Quran, that the Hoopi gives a detailed story of Queen of Sheba, details, and Suleiman understands it because Allah taught him the language of birds. So what he said, oh people, we have been taught the speech of the birds and we have been given out everything. Indeed, this is a manifest advantage. Now question comes, when he says, we have given out of everything. What was everything that was given to David and Solomon? It means that they were given the prophethood, right? It means that they were given the kingdom, right? It means that they had all kind of material luxury, jinn were under control and human were in control, birds were even in control. And the wind was in their control, you know, especially for Suleiman, especially I'm talking about Suleiman here. When I'm talking about jinn and wind, I'm talking about Suleiman, you know. They were in control, and also they had all kind of spiritual heights, you know. So they had everything, right, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what they said, we have been taught the speech of the birds, and we have been given out of everything. Indeed, this is a manifest advantage. Great advantage they had. وَحُشِرَ سُلَيْمَانَ جُنُودُهُ مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ وَالطَّيْرِ فَهُمْ يُؤْزَعُونَ. Solomon's host were marched out of for him, comprising jinn, human and birds, and they were held in check. So now Suleiman had control on jinn and human being and birds. So you know, like, why jinn came first? Because it's so strange to be controlling jinn, you know. Nobody controlled jinn before Suleiman, right? But Suleiman was controlling jinn with the grace of Allah. Then human beings were under control. There are a lot of prophets, human beings were not in control, and human tortured them and killed them, right? But here humans were under control. They were under control by Suleiman and the birds, and they were held in checks. So the word comes, whom you zahoon, means Imam Baqir alayhi salam says, explain the meaning of you zahoon, means they were in checks, means they were in groups, means if jinnat were in groups, the front groups cannot meet the back groups, means they were checked, they were not allowed to be dispersed and mingle. حتى إذا أتوا على وادي النمل قالت نملة يا أيها النمل يا أيها النمل ادخلوا مساكنكم لا يحطمنكم سليمان وجنوده وهم لا يشعرون. So when the, their hosts were going through the valley of ants, what happened? Suleiman alayhi salam heard the voice of an ant. And that what that ant was saying, verse describes. Now I read the verse. When they came to the valley of ants, an ant said, O ants, enter your dwellings, lest Solomon and his host should trample on you while they are unaware. See, he could hear the ant talking. Because you know, these ants communicate, you know. The science says, modern science says, that their communication is so strong. But their voice we cannot hear. But Allah bless Suleiman that he could hear ants calling and telling the other ants that you got to protect yourself, go to their dwellings, otherwise the host of Suleiman might trample you and they're not even aware of that. So Suleiman alayhi salam, which Allah grace, could hear him, and he smiled and laughed, right? And he talked to the ants. So now verse goes further. وَتَبَسَّمَ ضَاحِكٌ مِنْ قَوْلِهَا وَقَالَ رَبِّ أَوْزِعْنِي أَنْ أَشْكُرُ نِعْمَتَكَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيَّ وَعَلَى وَالَدَيَّ وَأَنْ أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا تَرْضَاهُ وَأَدْخِلْنِي بِرَحْمَتِكَ فِي عِبَادِكَ الصَّالِحِينَ. So when he saw that and talking like that, now verse goes that. Wherein he smiled, amused at its words, and he said, my Lord, inspire me to give thanks for your blessings, and with which you have blessed me and my parents, and what I may be do righteous deeds, which may please you, and admit me by your mercy among your righteous servant. This is a famous dua, prayer of Suleiman alayhi salam, which has been mentioned in this verse. So when he saw his end, then he thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that how Allah gave him all these things about the kingdom and prophethood and understanding even what ants are talking, right? And he was so thankful to Allah. Then what he said, my Lord, inspire me to give. He said, inspire me. He didn't say, give me guidance. He wanted to use inspire me. What inspiration? See, there's a difference between guidance and inspiration. One is tawfiq, means guidance. One is inspire, means to go kind of revelation on your heart, a strong revelation, like through Ruhul Quds, you know. We should pray to Allah that He should inspire us to do good deeds, like Ruhul Quds helping us, right? That's how he said, inspire me to give thanks. For what? For your blessing on which you have blessed me and my parents. Because his parents were blessed, right? His father was Dawood, right? He was blessed. And this includes even his mother, because he said parents. Because these people of book, they put some kind of allegation on the mother of Suleiman. And I don't want to go into the detail. And we thank Allah that Allah said Quran. In the Old Bible, Old Testament, there are a lot of stories which shows kind of disgrace to the sanctity of these great prophets. Allah said Quran to prove them to be perfect, infallible. We thank Allah. So here, Allah protected the respect of his mother also. And what is, because by saying this, inspire me to give thanks for your blessing with which you have blessed me and my parents, means Dawood and my mother also, and that I may do righteous deeds which may please you and admit me by your mercy among your righteous servants. Now, Mijan explained this verse so well. See, the thing is that sometimes we do good deeds, you know, righteous deeds, but they are only righteous deeds, but they don't make us righteous. Because their righteous deeds are not those to the level of perfection, that they don't make us righteous. Good deed could be righteous, but we could not be claimed that our soul has become righteous. Suleiman is saying, inspire me so that I can think what you did to me and my parents, so that I do such a righteous deeds that you become pleased with me and include me amongst your righteous servants. Means the great prophets who are righteous in their heart, not just with righteous deeds, but they themselves with their soul become righteous, to include me to those great ones. We should pray the same way, that our deeds cannot be just deeds, and we are not, our deeds are righteous, but inside they are filthy. We cannot have that. Our deeds should be so good that it should affect our soul, that we become the pure, so that Allah accept us in us among those righteous servants, you know. So I will end today's session with the verse 16 again, when verse 12, verse Suleiman and Dawood, verse 16, verse Suleiman and Dawood, Suleiman inherited from David, right? So this verse was decided by Bibi Fatima Zahra Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when she made first caliph, because what happened, the first caliph took away Baghe Fidak from her. The garden of Fidak, you know. And his claim was there that prophets do not leave any kind of inheritance. So she went to the first caliph and she said that Quran gives right for the child to get inheritance from the father, and you stop me from that. Then he said about this so-called narration that prophets don't leave any inheritance. Huh? So she read two verses. One is from Surah Maryam about Zakariya alayhi salam talking about that, you know, give me waris, you know, give me waris. That verse and this verse. Warisu Suleiman Dawood. She read this verse that Suleiman inherited from the David. Now there's a discussion about what did he inherit from David? What inheritance is talking about? Is this inheritance is of prophethood or knowledge or the property? We all know that that prophethood cannot be have inheritance, right? Because it's given by Allah individually, you know. And knowledge is also given either by acquiring yourself or Allah gives from him. But you cannot inherit knowledge by the father. The only thing which you can inherit father from the son, as a child from the father, is the property. So this was so she referred that Solomon got inheritance from Dawood, and how come you take my rights away? This was just the beginning of the operation on Ali Muhammad, from taking that garden. But this operation was just the beginning, brothers and sisters. The operation got worse and worse. How Bibi was got martyred, and how Imam Hassan alayhi salam was poisoned by this treacherous of Bani Umayyah, and how finally Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the 10th of Muhammad, by Yazid Mamun, was martyred, how the rights of Ali Muhammad is snatched And although Allah praise them the highest, you know, Allah send durood and salam, blessings to Muhammad and Ali Muhammad, and Muslim reciting the salawat and durood on Ali Muhammad, but still oppressing them. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah guide Muslim Ummah to understand the rights of Ali Muhammad. Guide everybody towards Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. Oh Allah, hasten the feelings of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam so we all can be his helper to establish your kingdom on this planet. Allah Alhamdulillah, Khumad Alameen, Walhamdulillah, Bil Alameen.